Hello and welcome to the Thursday, September 25th, 2014 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Augusta, Georgia. Now we got an interesting vulnerability and patch for the Linux users here, and this vulnerability affects good old Bash. The problem here is that the way Bash uses environment variables, it is possible for an attacker to execute arbitrary code if the attacker is able to set an environment variable. Now, at first, this may not really look all that severe because in order to set environment variables, typically you already need to be logged in and have a shell. So this is not a privilege escalation vulnerability. So what's the big deal here? The most dangerous scenario here, and probably also the most likely scenario how this is exploited, is if you have CGI bin scripts in your web server that are shell scripts. Now, not that this is a good idea in the first place, but it certainly is done quite a bit. I've seen it a lot in embedded devices. And the problem here is that headers that the user sends are being converted to environment variables. And this way, it would be rather simple for an attacker to inject these custom environment variables and then essentially execute code. Whether or not the code is executed depends less in this case on if the developer did proper input validation. This is really a bug in Bash itself. So if your CGI bin script is a Bash script, then any input validation that you perform inside that Bash script is likely not sufficient. There are a couple other scenarios, most notably also SSH can set environment variables like that. But overall, I believe the CGI bin case is probably the most common way how this vulnerability could be exploited. Overall, I don't see this as a must-patch this moment kind of vulnerability, but certainly something that you should expedite and patch rather quickly. And talking about applying patches quickly, Apple today apparently had a big breakdown over a patch that was released earlier for iOS 8. Apple earlier today released iOS 8. 801. Now, some of you may have seen the pop-up that iOS 801 was available, but then it failed to install. You were actually the lucky ones if this patch installed on iPhones 6 and 6 Plus, you will no longer have cellular connectivity. On a almost minor note in comparison to that, you will also no longer be able to use your fingerprint sensor in order to log in to the device. There is no clear workaround yet. The best workaround that I have seen is to do a fresh install of an old version of iOS 6. You can do that via iTunes. This cannot be done over the air, so you need to have access to a computer, and also it is a rather bulky download because you have to download the full iOS, which is about 2 gigabytes in size. And looks like jQuery isn't getting much rest. According to a blog post at jQuery.com, they suffered a second compromise. This second compromise appears to be unrelated to the first one. The first one did inject malicious code into the web frontend. This second compromise apparently was more trying to deface the site, but ultimately failed. The jQuery team did emphasize that the jQuery code that's being included and used by so many other sites is secure and was not affected by any of these compromises. I didn't see any statements as to the root cause of these problems. However, they do state that they did use some WordPress sites. They also removed untrusted code from the site now and are only running code which they reviewed. So hopefully this will put an end for now to any further breaches of the site. I still recommend highly that you do not include jQuery from their CDN directly, even though at this point they do emphasize that the content delivery network or CDN was not compromised in any of these breaches. And I can't let you go with another little device vulnerability. This time it's cable modems. Interestingly, ARIS cable modems provide a simple web interface in order to set various configuration values via SNMP. Turns out that the actual authentication for this SNMP interface via HTTP is, well, badly broken, to put it lightly, and as a result, a user could set various values in the cable modem, including, for example, admin passwords, DNS servers, and more. ARIS cable modems are heavily used among Comcast and Time Warner and other cable modem ISPs, and they also recently purchased Motorola's cable modems, so they're sometimes sold now under the ARIS brand. Well, and that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.